Colossians, and this week we're in Colossians 2. This is session 1 for Colossians 2. It's verses 1 through 7. And this one is called Walk by Faith. Walk by Faith. So let's read the passage, Colossians 2, 1 through 7. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face. This is, of course, Paul writing to the church at Colossae, and he's never been there. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is the critical message here this time. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments, for though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. As we have noted previously, Colossians is one of the prison epistles. Paul is in prison in Rome in about 60 to 62 AD, shortly before his execution. What is he doing? What is he thinking? Is he experiencing fear, doubt, or regret over failed responsibility? After all, he had never been to Colossae. He had never met the church there face to face. Was he crying in self-pity? What would you be doing if you knew you would never see or teach those you have grown to love even at such a distance? Would you lose your sense of hope and purpose? Not Paul. He is thinking of them, praying for them, agonizing for his fellow believers in both Laodicea and Colossae. And so after a time of prayer, intense and emotional, wondering what he can do for his Christian brothers and sisters, a door opens. Perhaps he is told that Epaphras, the pastor of Colossae, is there. Perhaps he is told that Epaphras is there to see him, and he is to let him in. Paul's son in the Lord, the leader of the Colossian church, is there in prison with Paul as a visitor. What a surprise, what a joy. But wait, the news is grim. The issue is profoundly important. A heresy has arisen which threatens to turn their faith from a simple faith in Jesus Christ to some imagined mystical higher knowledge. They are told trusting Christ is not enough. They are told Paul didn't tell you all you need. Epaphras needs Paul's wisdom, advice, and confirmation that faith in Christ, Paul preached, is sufficient. Now, Paul knows why he has been struggling, agonizing for them for so long. He must write a letter to be read in all the churches, reminding them of the truth. This letter, by the miraculous preserving work of the Holy Spirit, is in front of you now, to be read, understood, and applied in our day. There comes a time in life when there is nothing else to do but walk by faith, even when you are flat on your back in a hospital bed or in prison, as Paul was. You trust in God, you agonize for those you love, and amazingly, a door opens and God's purpose is obvious. This is part of his plan all along. You act on the opportunity and he blesses. What joy you experience. You are judged worthy to be used by him. I am reminded of how important it is to realize that there is always someone watching you to see how you respond to your struggles. Is this faith you talk about real or is it not? Barclay, one of the commentators, addresses this. Let me read you a brief paragraph from what he wrote. We will do well to remember in any situation in life that there are those who are watching us, and our action will either confirm or destroy their faith. Our struggle in life is never for ourselves alone. Always the honor of Christ is in our hands, and the faith of others is in our keeping. Christ's honor and the faith of others in my hands, in your hands? What a thought. What a responsibility. So now, before we run out of time, let's move on to verse 2. which has the answer to the Gnostic heresy and the message Epaphras is to take to the churches. Let's read verses 2 and 3 again. So verse 2 says, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding. They can understand without all this extra wisdom, quote unquote, that they're being taught. And the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They are unified in love for each other and for God, the Son, who died for them and sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for them. God knows of their testing, of their desire to know truth. He knows of the testing of their faith, and he answers them through the hand of Paul. They can have full assurance of all the knowledge they need. There needs to be no doubt. As they walk by faith in Jesus Christ, they can do so with confidence, courage, and boldness. They can be outspoken with those who are teaching heresy. They can put their arms around those who are doubting, and can point them again to Jesus Christ. The mystery of Christ, God with us and in us, is all we need. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is what the heretical Gnostics promised. They already have it. Why do they need it anymore? What a revelation, what a truth. Christ is the answer to all the philosophies, as he is the head of the church. Christ is the answer to ritualistic religion, as he is the heart of the church. So verse 7 says, we should abound in thanksgiving. We have it all in Christ. So Father, to just learn over the years to trust in you and the simplicity of your message, faith alone in Christ alone. How simple. Can it be so simple? Yes, not only can it, it is, because the work of salvation was done by you on the cross. On our responsibility is to believe it and receive it. We thank you for that reminder. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.